of heights to the depths of the sea.
And children also live, little children, they also live by faith, don't they? Because they don't know any other way to be. They're completely dependent on their parents or their caregivers and never think that they might go without, ever. They don't think that they're ever going to go without. They assume they'll be fed. They assume they'll have clothes on their body. They assume they'll have a bed to sleep in. They simply live day by day with simple faith. And if you think about that, remember when you were a child?
Uncontainable. You placed the stars in the sky.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us. You're listening to Truth in Christ Radio, a Bible teaching radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Rochester with senior pastor and teacher, Rob Kellogg. Today, we learn about the heart of a child and care for God's little ones. The scripture today says, "Unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." This was probably a great disappointment to the disciples. They knew that in that day, children were regarded more as property than individuals. It was understood that they were to be seen and not heard. Jesus said we have to take this kind of humble place to enter the kingdom, much less be the greatest in the kingdom. Now let's join Pastor Rob with today's lesson.
They have learned. Because they don't know anything yet. You and I are masters at sin and covering things up. We are so good at it, we should get paid for it because we're professionals. Remember before you were saved, how you could cover anything up? And I tell you, some of the most brilliant minds in the world, well, if I do this, then I got to cover my tracks here, and I got to bump this person off so they can't. And that person saw me, so I got to get rid of them, and I got to do this, and I got to do that. Next thing you know, you've got this whole string of lies and sin behind you. Do you remember those days when you're covering up for your sin all the time? That's a load. A child is not like that. They are completely uninhibited. I remember a story of speaking of children telling the truth, and this is a true story. A woman who no longer fellowships here many years ago, she was telling me of this, and it was kind of self-deprecating to her to tell. But she spoke in the audience of her little girl one time about another woman, about how this other woman was gaining a lot of weight. And so this child remembered that. And so now the child and the mother are in Wegmans, and they're going down the aisle getting their life cereal, and the woman shows up, just happens to be there. "Hey, how you doing?" And the little girl looked up at her mother and says, "Mommy, is this the woman who you said was gaining a lot of weight?" And the woman just went, "Oh." You know, sort of like a snail going inside of its shell again, you know, just kind of, you know, you feel like you just want to hide under a rock. Well, that was a true story. But see, that's a child. They just tell the truth. They didn't even think anything of it. And Jesus says, "I love that." They just tell the truth. They see it like it is, and they tell the truth. I tell you, can you imagine how much better the world would be if we did that? Instead of hiding everything and veiling everything, just be out with it. Yeah, it may hurt a little bit. In humility, a child is not afraid to ask questions because their brain is developing, isn't it? With each passing second, they don't know what not to ask. They're inexperienced in the ways of hiding themselves, and there's no shame in them at all. They don't know the difference between the president and some other humble servant, and they'll treat them both the same. They have no idea who's standing before them, and there's no difference. They have an innocence of heart. One of the wonderful things about a child. And young kids also are colorblind, meaning they make friends with whoever's available at the schoolyard. They don't give any attention whether the person's white or black or Ethiopian or Israeli. It doesn't matter the color of their skin. They could care less. They're there to play, and someone will play with them, and they've gained a friend. They could care less about any of that. They're free of bias, bigotry, and other things that separate people. And little children will confide in you. They'll tell you things that they shouldn't tell you. Or they'll tell you things that other people don't want you to tell. that they don't want them to tell you. They're not even, they don't care about the ramifications or the consequences. They're not even aware of them. They'll always assume that an adult is telling them the truth. They always assume that an adult or caregiver is telling them the truth. They trust and they're not suspicious. Small children are also affectionate. They will run up in your arms. If you just smile at them, they have no understanding. They quickly respond to affection when they're loved and when they're treated kindly. They're quick to run into your arms. They're quick to not hold a grudge because they don't even know what a grudge is yet. And children also live, little children, they also live by faith, don't they? Because they don't know any other way to be. They're completely dependent on their parents or their caregivers and never think that they might go without, ever. They don't think that they're ever going to go without. They assume they'll be fed. They assume they'll have clothes on their body. They assume they'll have a bed to sleep in. They simply live day by day with simple faith. And if you think about that, remember when you were a child? I remember when I was a little child. And we were very poor when I was really little. I remember rolling pennies. My brother and my sister and I would, my mother had this, she worked three jobs. And we were so broke that she'd put money in a jar, and my brother, my sister, and I would pour out the jar of coins and nickels and quarters and pennies, and we'd roll those things, and we'd go up to the 7-Eleven on the corner, and we'd get one of those burritos and put them in the microwave in Flint, Michigan. Yes, the place where all the lead is in the water, that's where I grew up, which probably describes a lot of brain damage that I have. Or I call it Dane Bramage. But that's what we did. And we thought it was a hoot. We didn't think about the stress that my mother was feeling. We had no idea what she was going through and how that broke her heart. And yet that's what we did. And we didn't think twice about it. We lived by faith. Kids do that. These are things that God wants to instill in our hearts. And this is the way we should come to God and His Word, just with a childlike faith. Those characteristics that I just read to you. And there's many more, I'm sure, but those are some very obvious ones. And we should approach Jesus and the Word of God with childlike faith. Therefore, whoever humbles himself, Jesus says, verse 4, as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. There we go. Who's the greatest in the kingdom? Well, it's certainly Christ, or ought to be. But Jesus said, this little one. Back in that day, they really didn't think too much hard about children. They were just kind of in the way. They had to grow up and be useful. But Jesus says, no, you need to be like that. You need to tell the truth. You need to have a humble spirit. You need to be able to confide in God and others. You need to trust. And sometimes trust, it does take time. To be affectionate and to live by faith. These are things that God wants to work back into us. Because the world has made some of us so hard and so crusty. Has the world done that to you? The things that have happened in the last few years and the truth of those things, the real truth, what has it done to you inside? If you're like me, it's scrambled my insides and my heart. And I need to keep my eyes focused on Christ. I need my heart to be soft. I need that child likeness again. Lord, would you work that into me and my brothers and sisters? The Spirit of God wants to do that in you and I. He wants to work it back. Give us a soft heart, not an angry heart. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. In the kingdom of God, it's the exact opposite of what we see in the world. And thank God for that. Because in the world, he who is the strongest survives. In the world, he who has the most money and influence wins. He or she who is good looking goes farther in their careers and has greater opportunities open for them. That's just the way it is. We know this as adults. We've seen it. Maybe we've even experienced. But the kingdom of God, but in the kingdom of God, it is the exact opposite. Jesus, speaking to the multitudes and the disciples, he says, "But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted." Humility is something that is otherworldly. It's not a trait that we as human beings in our fallen nature take to very well. In fact, by nature, we're selfish. By nature, we are hateful and envious. By nature, we are lustful creatures. That's why we need to be born again. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. So Jesus equates receiving him on a par with receiving a child. So how important is a child to God? It ought to change the way we view kids and our interaction with them. Respectfully love them. Respectfully love kids. Care for them, nurture them, encourage them to, and be good examples before them, teaching them how to live this Christian life and put no stumbling block before them. That's what God would have us to do. To do everything to support them and nurture them, care for them, be the very best example, moms and dads and grandmas and grandfathers. Be the best example for those kids. Be the thing that they can look up to and say, "If it wasn't for you, I don't know where I would be. I've learned everything from you, and you taught me only good things. You taught me good morals because they're here in the Bible. You told me how to live, and it spared me from a lot of heartache, Mom and Dad, and Grandma and Grandpa. The things that you shared with me have saved me from so much heartache that all of my friends, their lives are wrecked and are being wrecked because their parents, their grandparents aren't telling them. But you told me, and my life is the better for it. And now I have this opportunity to come to Christ and be like you." Yes. To be like him. I love what it says in Ephesians. There is a part on the side of the child. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise." And it tells us that back in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, I believe it is. "That it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers," and here it is, "do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." And that includes you moms as well. But fathers, don't provoke your children. You know, so often because of our parents, maybe, guys, you didn't have a dad who treated you well. Maybe he was just of this generation that just scowled at you and you never thought you were good enough. And you felt like you were always looked down upon and that you couldn't do anything right. And maybe he slapped you around a little bit. Maybe he got drunk and beat on you. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. Your value to God is immense. Your value to God, even though your earthly father or mother may have treated you harshly and treated you poorly, your estimation, who you are before God is so much greater. He loves you to pieces. He loves you, folks. Some of you still remember hurts of the past. When you were a child and you were abused or neglected or treated unfairly, treated poorly, hey, listen, there is no greater father than God the Father. He loves you. He wants to minister to your heart. He wants to take away all those pains of the past. He wants to reveal to you how great and how wonderful and beautiful you are in his sight. He's not angry with you. Even as a sinner, if you haven't received Christ, God loves you. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you're doing. He loves you, but you must come to him. And when you come to him, keep coming to him. Come to him with your broken heart. Come to him with the strains of your marriage and the strains of your life. Do you go to the Lord? Or do you just do something else? Now, maybe you're not a Christian. Or maybe you are a Christian and you're finding your solace in the bottom of a bottle still. Maybe you're still flirting with alcohol. Maybe you're hooked on prescription medicine, prescription painkillers to deaden what's inside. God wants to heal you today. He wants to speak to you. Will you listen to him? Will you respond to him? The best father in the world is God. And he loves all of you. Regardless of your upbringing, regardless of your experience, the love of God is amazing. And he will never stop loving you. He will always come after you. I think of how many, if the worship team could come on up and prepare, we're going to take communion in just a few moments here. But I remember times in my life where I was just doing my own thing. Completely unconcerned about God or salvation or any of that stuff. I could care less about any of that. And all the while, from my first 24 years, God was knocking on the door of my heart and I refused him. I pushed him away. But he was always knocking. He was always coming. At different times in my life, he would send somebody to share the truth and the love of God with me, to share the gospel with me. And I refused those overtures so many times, but there was a moment. And I want to encourage you with this, folks, because as you, as Christians, are sharing, and it seems like it's just falling on dead ears, listen, you just keep sharing because there's coming a day, there's coming a moment, and you don't know what that moment is. You don't know when it is. The person you're speaking to doesn't even know when that moment is. But when the Lord is ready and that heart is ready, oh my goodness, they get translated, they get converted from a kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God. Don't ever give up. Don't ever get discouraged. You just keep putting one foot in front of the other. And you keep sharing Christ. Keep sharing the love of God. And love people regardless of their status, regardless of their political affiliations. The most important thing is where are they going to spend eternity? That should be the only thing that really matters. Because this world and everything is going to vanish, folks. All the works and everything in it are going to be consumed with fire. But only that which is Christ is going to remain for eternity. That is the most important thing. And that is our mandate. To go into all the world. Sharing Christ. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we don't have to do it alone because he's going to be with us right there until the end of the age. And can I say to you that the end of the age is coming very soon? I'm actually surprised that Christ hasn't returned for the church yet. I'm surprised. He's at the door. Prepare yourself. And if this morning you've not received Christ, I want to encourage you to do it in the privacy of your own heart right now. Just confess your sins. Confess that you're a sinner and just say, Lord, I want you to come into my heart. I want you to come inside of me. Spirit of God, come inside this heart and change my life. I am yours. Do with me whatever you want to do. You own me. You created me. I've got an eternity with you. I want to spend it with you. I don't want to go to hell. And yes, there is a hell. And all your friends aren't there partying. As the worship team leads us in a song, I want to encourage you for believers. If you're a believer, partake of communion this morning and come up and receive the elements. Bring them back to your chair and we'll take it together, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, I often wonder what it was like that night after they had taken the Passover meal when Jesus would take the bread and the cup and do something he's never done before. And all the Passovers that they had ever done, they never did this. Jesus taking the bread and tearing it, saying, this is my body which is broken for you. And then to take the wine and to pass that around and say, this is the blood of the new covenant. Drink all of it and do it as often as you will and do it in remembrance of me. And of course, it was a symbolic act as we are taking it now. It's symbolic of what Christ did for us. And as we take these elements, and it's wonderful that we are ingesting them, because as it goes down, it becomes in the center of us. And basically what we're proclaiming is, Lord, we believe in you. We believe in what you have done for us. We believe it so much that symbolically we're going to put it into the center of us. And that's what we do when we take communion. It's a wonderful fellowship. And one I love to do with all of you, to take communion together. We are the only people on earth, think of it. We can gather in a room like this, all of us, so many different backgrounds, so many different cultures, and we can gather and be united. Where is that else going to happen? It doesn't happen, folks, except in the church. It can happen in the church, and it does here, and I'm very proud of that. So let's take the bread, knowing that it was... Paul said, "For I received from the Lord, which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, and do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's take, partake. "And in the same manner, he also took of the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me.'" And how could we forget you, Lord? Let's partake. Praise the Lord. What a blessing to do that with all of you. Glory to God, yes. Love that. Hey, listen, if you could, take these wonderful little cups, and on your way out of the service today, after we pray, just toss them in the trash can that's next to the door as you leave. That would be helpful. Ants love these. When we leave them around underneath the chairs, they love to congregate there and have a party. So if you could throw these away, that would be really wonderful. And let's stand together. Let's pray really quick, and thank you. Lord, we just thank you again for this passage today and just for taking communion. And we thank you, Lord, just for the childlikeness, Lord, that you want to birth within us. And Lord, also the value that you have on children. And Lord, we are your children. Lord, we are your children, and we need to respond in those same childlike ways to you. And so, Lord, help us, give us that faith and restore that innocence. Restore everything, Lord. And we know that you do, and you have, and you have done much more than we could ever possibly think. And so, Lord, it's for you that we are gathered. It's you that we love. And it's you that we will see very soon, and we hope to see very, very soon. And so, Lord, thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
That's the end of our study for today. But please join us next time as Pastor Rob continues in the Gospel of Matthew. Calvary Chapel of Rochester is located at 2503 Browncroft Boulevard, Rochester, New York, 14625. You can reach us at our church office between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, at area code 585-586-3140. If you would like to have an audio CD of today's message mailed to you in its unedited form, simply mention today's date when contacting our church office. You can also contact us via the web by logging on to www.calvaryrochester.com. There you will be able to access a number of useful things, such as information concerning our beliefs, our ministries, contact information, our location, service times, and much more. You can also download or listen to the radio and sanctuary messages free of charge from the teachings link at the top of the page. To listen to Calvary Chapel of Rochester sanctuary messages or Truth in Christ Radio on your mobile device, just subscribe to both through Google Podcast or Apple Podcast. You're also invited to join us on Sunday and Thursdays through live streaming of our services and Bible studies. Just click on the online services link on the website. We're so glad that you could join us today. And if there is any way that we can bless you with your walk with Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to call our church office. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And for this cause, I have come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." May God bless you in abundance today as you walk with Him. And until next time, this has been Truth in Christ.